data is a very complicated thing because everything is data.
True that. We have a list of pros and cons, cloud HPC related.
Let's go through them.
From Orion X in association with Inside HPC, this is the At HPC podcast. Join Shaheen Khan and Doug Black as they discuss supercomputing technologies and the applications, markets, and policies that shape them. Thank you for being with us.
Hi, everyone. And hi, Shaheen. It's great to be with you again. Our topic this week is cloud HPC. We've been reading about it, studying about it, talking about it. Interesting that Hyperion's latest market numbers, HPC market numbers, overall on-prem HPC was a $24 billion market, and they expect 7% growth a year through the next 3 years, 2024. HPC cloud, though, is worth $4.3 billion, so 1/6, a little more than that, but growing at 17% a year until 2024.
It's been amazing growth. Now, when it all started a couple of years ago, my half cynical question was, did we simply just started counting? But no matter, the growth is quite impressive. And of course, the whole cloud topic is so multidimensional. You know, from an overall perspective, I see us entering into the next phase of IT. We've gone from terminal mainframe to client server to mobile cloud, really for the past 10 years or more. And now we're entering into edge to core, where you have to have an end-to-end perspective that includes the devices and sensors out there all the way to the data center, and in which cloud has to share the spotlight with edge while both of them grow quite nicely.
And the whole thing generally began with AWS as almost an accident. I mean, they built out their data center, and then they just had so much excess capacity, they started selling it.
Yeah, I remember in that era meeting with IT customers and data centers. And one of the talks was, if you're so good at it, how come you're not selling it? Right. So Amazon did that. We are good at it and we are going to sell it.
So here we are. And I remember it was about, I want to say 2 years ago, that not only Hyperion, but also Intersect 360 said, wow, cloud HPC has finally arrived. It's really taking off. And one of the little dynamics there is that the growth in cloud HPC has been at the expense of lower end HPC.
Right. You know, my observation is that starting, like you said, 3-4 years ago, just about when industry analysts started noticing it, was also when cloud providers started hiring HPC specialists in small and then larger and larger quantity. And of course, the whole advent of AI has fueled that, because the skill set required to do AI is very similar to the skill set required to do HPC. We're going to see the same thing in metaverse, because in fact, if you are good at HPC, you're qualified to do anything you wish. Mm-hmm. So from a vendor standpoint, if you've got massive capacity and you want to fill it, what are you going to fill it with? You're going to fill it with loads that are big and growing, and HPC applications are big and will forever grow because it's insatiable. And then the next thing you want to do is to make sure that those loads have the infrastructure that they need. So that leads to the hardware and software configurations that we see growing in cloud providers, from FPGAs and GPUs and various CPUs and various accelerators, all the way to actual quantum computers that you can access through the cloud.
Well, you know, when I first 6 years ago started looking at cloud HPC, and I remember we were looking at Nimbix at the time, which is strictly a cloud HPC vendor that was bought by Atos last year. To my mind at that point, it was, why wouldn't everything be run on the cloud? But as our listeners will hear, there's actually many reasons why you would not do everything in the cloud. But we have kind of a list of pros and cons, cloud HPC related.
Let's go through them.
Yeah, why don't we go through them, and Shaheen, you agree or tear them down?
But okay, so now we're going from a vendor view to a customer view.
Yeah, very much a customer outlook. So a big pro of cloud HPC, you don't have to house or maintain hardware. We can't add buy to that list. You do have to buy the stuff. At least you're paying for the cloud HPC infrastructure, but you don't have to house it yourself and you don't have to maintain the hardware.
Yes. The buying part, you're going to pay for it one way or another. The question is, how much are you paying? And that really is when the complexity starts, because if you already have a giant data center down the hall, and you have capacity in it, well, then you don't really need it. You already got it. Mm. But if you have to wait in line for 2 days and you don't have 2 days, well, then paying for it at the cloud makes sense. But if you can wait 2 days, then you just wait. So I think that's really the buy part becomes really complicated. But the fact that you don't have to physically build and house is true. Now, sometimes you want to build and house because you've got compliance or security or governance issues. and sometimes you don't, in which case it's easier to have somebody else do it. So I guess where I'm going with this is every one of these parameters will be a relatively complicated discussion.
It really is. But I think you can make kind of a general observations. If you're General Motors, you're doing so much ongoing HPC runs that it logically leads to on-prem. But if, say, you're an engineering company, a startup, you've got 25 engineers, you obviously have limited money, you don't know if your company will exist in a year, cloud HPC makes perfect sense.
It totally does. And I think that's really a question of your wherewithal to actually have local capacity. And if you don't, well, then outsourcing, buying it from somebody else is your only choice. Same reason why we all buy cars instead of manufacturing it ourselves. It's not practical.
In that sense, cloud HPC really nurtures pilot projects, POC projects, but also entrepreneur activity.
Yes.
Where HPC class CFD, for example, is really a requirement.
I think we can safely say the startup market is all cloud, right? They're going to buy laptops and that's about it.
So to me, this raises another interesting dichotomy. If you're AWS, you want GM, but you might be getting more of the lower end of the market in terms of HPC spending.
Well, I think if you're a cloud provider, you think that time's on your side, that over time, all the excess capacity and all the incremental capacity is going to find its way to the cloud. I think the only thing that really has come in its way is the advent of edge to core, where the data volume is just so large that going straight to cloud isn't really advisable, and you need intervening capacity. And that intervening capacity can be provided by cloud guys, like AWS does with their edge platforms, or it can be done by yourself. And if you already have some capacity, so that end-to-end fabric, the data fabric, the enterprise as a system, that is what makes it a little bit complicated. But the presence of the cloud and its growth seems assured.
Okay, another pro is having an elastic infrastructure, avoiding the over or under utilization of HPC hardware.
Yes, that also is an advantage that over time it's going to maybe diminish because local capacity is treated like cloud increasingly anyway. Mm. And provisioning in the cloud also is a thing occasionally. If you know you're going to have unpredictable capacity requirements and you want to make sure that you have them when you need them, then you may have to provision them in advance because even cloud can run out of capacity, and very rarely, but occasionally it does. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like getting a brownout.
Well, you know, an HPE GreenLake and Lenovo just did a similar announcement. I know Dell has a similar capability. It's an HPC private cloud, in essence. It's your own equipment, yet it's in a cloud environment.
It's a great opportunity for those guys. And I've looked at what they each offer. To me, is going to morph into this end-to-end, edge-to-core to cloud data fabric. And of course, they're in the middle. They can do the cloud. They can do the on-prem. They can even do some of the edge devices. And they're in a good position to say, I can facilitate all of that for you. Yeah, I like that happening. Mm-hmm. A few years ago, you thought you're going to have your mobile phone at one end, the cloud at the other end, and you were done. And that was a really good, simple picture that lasted like 2 weeks before you realized that the data volumes and the AI and the local thing and, you know, edge HPC and all of that is just way too complicated to have that pristine picture. And you're going to need capacity everywhere in the network.
Yeah, the damn vendors keep offering more options. And the users keep coming up with new problems, right? So, yeah. So another nice pro of cloud HPC is ready access to the latest and also specialized hardware and software.
Yes, I believe that is true because these big players have a possibility to get early access to the latest, greatest technology. Not all of them get it to everybody because some of these guys try to get an exclusive for a few months over their competition. And also you pay for it. The new latest, greatest capacity isn't the cheapest.
Right. And we've kind of hit on this theme, but also this cloud HPC very much nurturing experimentation, pilot and POC project.
That falls out of the small projects.
Right.
And that's a very true statement and a very important.
Yeah.
The prevailing wisdom is that even if you're going to go on-prem, you can go kick the tires in the cloud and try all various configurations and see how they operate.
Yeah, that's got to be a huge plus. Also, again, we've touched on this, but no queues waiting behind other projects if you're doing cloud HPC.
Yeah, I think that's generally true.
Right.
Yeah.
Then there's this group of companies that have emerged, like Uber Cloud and Rescale, that are kind of a go-between between the customer and the cloud HPC provider around deployment and management.
Yeah. In fact, my joke used to be, you better understand whether cloud is your partner or your competition. Because for many of you, in fact, it's a partner. And I think we are seeing that supply chain between the user and the cloud get a little bit extended, which is very notable because cloud itself got itself between the customer and the traditional vendors. And now you see a new class of vendors that are trying to facilitate the use of cloud because of its complexities. So Uber Cloud is a great example of that. And like you said, Cycle Computing and, you know, Rescale and others.
Yeah. Okay.
So a few more things though.
Okay.
I think another piece of the puzzle is financial engineering, which I acknowledge is a very legitimate branch of engineering. Mm-hmm. How you treat cloud usage financially is an important consideration. CapEx, OpEx, depreciation, off-balance sheet, all that other activity that CFOs know and love. And that can make a big difference. And then the other part is your need or desire to move to other clouds down the line. Because cloud providers right now are not so quote unquote open systems. Mm. Taking your apps out of one cloud and moving it to another cloud is not so easy.
Yeah.
Even if you decide to do that, it's going to take you years, just like proprietary hardware systems were in the old days. And in the old days, we used to call those roach motels. You check in, you never check out. And it's very expensive to do that. Now, sometimes that's really not an issue. Sometimes you're already using a half a dozen different cloud providers anyway, and the capacity can be throttled relatively gently. But it's a consideration for a bunch of people. And that's part of the governance too, is that if you have on-prem, then you have full control over it. If you're on a cloud, well, you know, you're at the mercy of somebody else, even if that somebody else gave you a service level agreement in triplicate.
Yeah, right. A hybrid cloud and also a multi-cloud strategy is probably a good idea for that very reason. It gives you options and you can shift and move as your HPC strategic needs change.
Exactly. Like in the old days, you could be an IBM shop or an HP shop or a Sun shop, but every one of those shops had an enclave here and there with other systems just to hedge their bets a little bit.
Yeah. Anything else?
Yeah. I mean, you know, to kind of summarize is that from a customer standpoint, are you occasional or ongoing? Are you immediate or in the future? Are you small or large? How much data flows in and out? What's your ability to negotiate?
By that, you mean negotiate a deal.
Yeah, exactly. Because if you have massive capacity requirements, you can probably negotiate a sweetheart deal.
A big recent piece of news in this whole thing was that Meta, former Facebook, has struck a deal with AWS to be its AI cloud of choice.
And of course, they have their own big data center. So that sounds like a surge capacity, burst capacity.
Yeah.
But also you can expect that that deal is probably pretty customized.
Or the Meta Office deal with HPE Azure, which part of that is that they, in essence, Azure is providing them with a private cloud capability.
And the poster child of that is Netflix and AWS years ago, when they became one of the first major players to move their entire data center to AWS, even though AWS had their prime offering coming. And you could, in principle, say, oh, the guy is like competing with you. Yeah, well, that's fine because, you know, we have the right service level agreements and it fits our strategy.
Yeah.
And then you have the expertise to build and manage locally or in the cloud. What is your compliance requirements? What's your security requirements? Mm-hmm. For many people, security in cloud is really a lot better than you could do yourself. And maybe that's fine. But, you know, for some others, the combination of security and compliance and governance means that you have data that you cannot leave anywhere else. And then what is your need to move to other clouds, as we discussed? And then at the end, what's the cost? And this cost is sort of percentage versus magnitude. If you need a very small amount of capacity, even if you pay triple the cost, it's nothing because, you know, if you pay $10,000 instead of $3,000, that's not a big deal. But if you're paying $300 million instead of $100 million, well, that is a big deal.
Yeah.
And that's when you can, in fact, do a customized deal and negotiate. So highly multidimensional, but HPC is in a very good place like it always is.
Yeah. I guess the only other issue we didn't really get into, it's a whole can of worms, is what are the HPC offering differences between AWS, Google Cloud, Azure, and Oracle. On the other hand, if you do go with a multi-cloud strategy, you'll just find out through using them.
Right. Of course, the multi-cloud strategy has a difficulty with data repatriation and where is your data for the applications that you want. So that necessarily partitions your workload across business structure or product structure. Mm-hmm. So that's a complexity. And data at the end is going to be what's going to drive this in my mind. And data is a very complicated thing because everything is data.
True that. Well, again, fun talking with you and look forward to talking with you again soon.
Good stuff. Thank you.
That's it for this episode of the At HPC podcast. Every episode is featured on InsideHPC.com and posted on OrionX.net. Use the comment section or tweet us with any questions or to propose topics of discussion. If you like the show, rate and review it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. The At HPC podcast is a production of OrionX in association with Inside HPC. Thank you for listening.